turn in God's word to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 27, and I'll read verses 1 to 10. Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, "Keep all the commandments which I command you this day, and it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto that land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster, and thou shalt write upon them all the words of the law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore it shall be, when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day, in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and thou shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly." And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, "Take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." Well, may God bless to our hearts that reading there from his word. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that some of you get the Geneva Bible notes, and in April, they went through the Ten Commandments in the very first week. And when they did the reading on the first commandment, at the end it said, "This ought to be some of our responses to the first commandment." And we've been going through them, looking at them. The first one was we ought to love God, and then we ought to know God. And this morning, if you've been paying attention by the readings and the hymns, we ought to obey God. God is the maker and creator of all things. God is the supreme being. He has the authority, he has the right to command us, and we have the obligation, we have the responsibility to obey God. That obligation belongs to every single human being who ever lives upon this earth. God is God, and he ought to be obeyed by us. By our very nature, God has created us living souls in his image under him. And God, who is holy and good, has given us holy and good commandments to live by. And he's given them to us for our good. And he's given to us for the benefit of mankind as a whole. The problem is, we see at the very beginning of our Bibles, we read in Genesis, Adam and Eve willfully disobeyed God. They sinned against God. Sin is the transgression of God's law. Sin is disobeying God's commandments. And the whole human race that has been descended from them has been sinful by nature and practice. God tells us, all have sinned and come short of his glory. All. That means I have sinned against God. That means you have sinned against God. That means everyone we ever come across has sinned against God. It means everybody who has ever lived has sinned against God. God is saying that we have not lived as he commands and he requires us to do. And that disobedience is rebellion against God. It really is a heart rejection of God. It's a departing from Almighty God, our Maker and Creator. And since that's the case, Since all mankind has disobeyed God, rejected God, departed from God, it's had this tragic consequence. God has departed from us. People's sins separate them and cut them off from God, their maker and creator. Now, generally speaking, most people would say, if you told them that, so what? Who cares that I'm cut off from God? I'm separated from God. But how wrong they would be. I mentioned to you before, very often, King Solomon, who had the money and the power to buy anything you'd want to buy in this world and to do anything you'd want to do. And my word, he had a good effort at doing that. He tried everything, he bought everything, and he came to the conclusion that it was all vanity and futile without God. Because you see, God has made us living souls. And here's the crunch. Only God can meet the needs of our souls. No amount of money, no amount of material things, no matter what worldly experiences we may enjoy, none of those things come near meeting the need of a human soul. Only God can do that. But not only does our disobedience separate us from God, who alone can meet the need of our souls, it makes us liable to the deserved, righteous punishment of Almighty God for disobeying him, for breaking his good commandments and laws. God says the soul that sins shall die. God says the wages of our sin is spiritual, physical, eternal death. God tells us his wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men. He wouldn't be the holy, righteous, just God, our maker and creator he is, if that wasn't going to be the case. One thing then is certain, and it's this. We can't be right with God. We can't have the needs of our souls met. We can't escape God's righteous punishment and go to heaven by our own works. You see, if that was to happen by our own works, you would have to prayerfully obey God from the moment you were born to the moment you die. If you did that, well, the needs of your soul would be met. You would go to God's heaven. But God tells us we haven't done that. He says we have all sinned and come short of his glory. But the good news is this. It's not impossible for us to be right with God. It's not impossible for us to have the needs of our souls met. It's not impossible for us to be saved from the punishment our disobedience of God deserves. And it's not impossible for us to eternally go to God's heaven. It's not possible because of things that we do. We've just pointed that out. But it is possible through what God has done in the Lord Jesus Christ. What it has pleased God to do about our sinful disobedience of him. And he begins by the Father sending the Son to be a Savior, and the Son willingly coming into this world. And remarkably, taking the same nature as all of those who have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in that nature, unlike me and unlike you, unlike everybody else, he didn't sin. In him is no sin. He knew no sin. He was without sin. But the pure, lovely, sinless God the Son, in the same nature as us, went to the death of the cross. And what happened there? Well, we're told by God through Isaiah, he was wounded, but not for his transgressions, because he has none, but for ours. He was bruised, not for his iniquities, he hasn't any, but for ours. We're told in the Bible, he suffered for sin, not his, he was without sin, but ours, So God the Son, in human nature, without sin, on the cross, bore the penalty the sins of those who believe upon him deserve. And he rose again from the dead to show he'd done that very thing, to show he'd made satisfaction for all the sins of all those who will ever believe upon him. And he makes this wonderful promise that every sinful man and woman, young person, boy and girl, who ever walks this earth, who acknowledges and confesses to Almighty God the reality of what God tells them, yes, O God, against you, you only, I have sinned, but trust in the Lord Jesus to be forgiven those sins and help turn from them and follow him, God will pardon and forgive. Because all our unrighteousness, Christ took the punishment it deserved on the cross. All our sin, he took that penalty. And on faith in him, his beautiful, wonderful righteousness is reckoned to our account. And on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're right with God. And the needs of your souls will be met. And you won't receive the righteous penalty your disobedience of God deserves. And you will, at the end of your days, go to God's heaven. Now, having said all of that, what is to be the attitude then to the person who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved? What is to be the attitude to the law of God, the commandments of God, and to the person who is a child of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we're not freed to be disobedient to God's commandments on faith in Christ Jesus. When it says in the Bible, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is not under the law, but under grace, it's not saying that obeying God is unnecessary for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is saying that the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is not saved by perfectly keeping God's law, because we haven't done that. It is saying we're saved by God's grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it means we're no longer under the condemning power of God's law that we deserve for breaking it. But on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are still under the commanding power of the good and holy laws of God. We're told this in 1 Peter 2, speaking of Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. So those who have been saved through faith in Christ, who in his own body bore their sins on the tree and suffered for them, should live unto righteousness. What is righteousness? It is basically obeying the righteous commandments of Almighty God. Now, in seeking to obey God, we must seek to do it in a way that is honoring and pleasing to him. It should be the fruit of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't as believers say, now, I can carelessly, casually disobey the clear commands of Almighty God. If we talk like that, if we spoke like that, if you ever wanted evidence you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's there in the mirror for you to look at. That's not the way a genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ will ever think. God tells us to fear God and keep his commandments is the whole duty of man. And when a sinner is made right with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't remove that duty. It means rather that duty then becomes a delight. As a non-Christian, as an unbeliever in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no particular desire or delight in making sure we're obeying God. But on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we desire to and we take delight in doing what God commands us to do. But not that, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and how you know this by experience, you'll perfectly obey God until he reaches glory. God's word is very clear. There is no man that sinneth not, and that's believer and unbeliever. The only one that's true of is the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the word of God says in Proverbs, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? And it asks the question in the Hebrew, presuming the negative answer. Nobody. John, writing to Christians, says, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. When you read through your Bible of the great men and women of God there, you'll soon see they weren't without sin. And in several cases, their sins are recorded for us in God's word. Jesus, when he was teaching the disciples about prayer, one of the things he told them that should make up a part of their prayer is to pray, forgive us our trespasses, that we may forgive those who have trespassed against us. You see, we need to pray that because Jesus is making clear, even as disciples, we will trespass sin against Almighty God. God tells the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, goes on cleansing you from all sin. And that makes clear that we need to be continually cleansed from that sin. We're not without sin. God tells believers, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Which makes very, very clear that we will, even as the Lord's children through faith in Christ, sin and be unrighteous. You see, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, sinless perfection, as some have taught in the history of the church, is far removed from biblical reality. It does speak on a couple of occasions in the Bible of someone being perfect, but it's not talking about somebody being sinless, somebody that's perfectly obeyed God. It uses that word there. It's more speaking of a mature man and woman of God who is more godly than others, who is obeying God more than others, but they're not sinless people. And the very ones the word is used of, you see in the same word of God, are not sinless. So when it comes to obeying God's laws, God's commandments, everyone has broken them. All have sinned and come short of his glory. So every single person needs to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be forgiven their sins, to be right with God, so the needs of their souls can now be met, so they can be safe from the punishment their sin against God deserves, and so they can have the assurance when they die, they'll go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, now being delivered from the condemning power of God's laws, is still under the commanding power of the laws and commandments of God. But this side of glory, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never perfectly obey all the commandments of Almighty God. But as a Christian, you should have a desire, a heart, and a delight in obeying God. It speaks in 1 Peter of God's children, Christians, being obedient children. Obedient children. Obeying God is to please God, our Heavenly Father. More pleasing to God is obedience than any religious observance. Many people will give religious observance to God while they're willfully disobeying God. King Saul was an example. He thought God would be pleased by his outward religious observance, offering sacrifices, when in fact, at the same time, he was willfully disobeying God. And he's reminded to obey is better than sacrifice. So if you're a professing believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't imagine for one moment attending the services in church and doing Christian service is some substitute and makes up for a lack of obedience to God in your life, because it doesn't. It doesn't. What God wants is obedient children. Obedient children. And when we're coming to meetings to worship him, when we're doing service from him, he wants to see it's from the hearts of those who are delighting to, seeking to obey him day by day. And what God would have us to do, it's very simple to find out. It's in your Bible, in the Word of God. There he reveals his will, his commandments, how he wants you to live, how he would have you to speak and act and think wherever you were, as I prayed earlier, whether it's at home or college, in work, in church, at leisure times. But God makes it very clear to us how he wants us to behave. And as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should willingly obey God. Willing obedience is so important. I would never have allowed my children when they were growing up, if I told them to do something and they did it and they slammed the door or they put on a face or they stamped their feet and went out and did it. I'd always bring them back and make clear to them that wasn't really obedience. And to do the same with God is far worse. If we're obeying Almighty God, it needs to be willing obedience. It's only willing obedience that will please God, our Heavenly Father. As God's children, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our obedience has to be given through Christ. Because you see, sin mars everything we do, even as Christians. And it's only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ our obedience to God is acceptable to him. Also, our obedience to God as Christians needs to be in all things. You see, you can go through your Bible and look at various commands that God gives us concerning our behavior. And because of our circumstances at that particular time, many of those commandments would seem reasonably easier to obey than others. They wouldn't cost us a great deal. But then at other times, because of our circumstances, there may be a commandment from God, and if we obey God, we know it's going to cost us a great deal. But we must not seek to pick and choose, therefore, as Christians, which of those commandments we're going to obey. We may feel, if I obey that command of God, my word is going to cost me. My word, I'm going to lose out. It may be your family are going to fall out with you. It may be you miss out on a promotion. It may be, as examples in the Bible, you're threatened with being burned to death or torn apart by lions. But we must still obey God. You see, ultimately, in the short term, it mightn't seem the case, but ultimately, you'll never ever lose out by obeying God. But you will always lose out by disobeying God. And we always need to remember that. A believer in Christ who's sincerely obedient will not pick and choose which of God's commands they're going to obey and not to obey. When Jesus attended that wedding in Cana in Galilee, and his mother said those words to his servants, what a rule for life. For every Christian, whatsoever he says to you, do it. Whatsoever he says to you, do it. And leave the outcome, leave the consequences with God. But just do what he says. You see, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, our obedience is glorifying to the God of our salvation, to our Heavenly Father. But our disobedience as his children is a grievous thing to Almighty God. Because God knows, even what we're disobeying, that commandment was given for our good. Not only are we disobeying the law, the commandment of God, what a fancy that is, but we're not helping ourselves. Because by disobeying God, we're damaging our own selves. Now, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, so often, so carelessly, we go and say and do things and think things contrary to the commands of Almighty God. But there's one thing that we need to be very, very more concerned about is this. When we have a wrong, strong desire to disobey what we know is the clear command and will of God, and we still do it, that is very grievous sin. That's presumptuous sin. We've willfully sinned against God, our Heavenly Father. When, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we disobey God, we should be upset. We should be grieved. And we should confess to God and be encouraged by what he tells us, which I mentioned before. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But as God's children, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should have an understanding it's a joyful thing to obey God. Any child who has really loving parents is pleased when they see by their behavior their parent is pleased. And when we obey God, our Heavenly Father, he is pleased with us, his children, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we disobey God as his children, it has terrible knock-on effects for us. One of probably the worst is this. We grieve the Holy Spirit. And if you took the trouble to read through the Bible, of all the things you need the help of the Holy Spirit with in your Christian life, you would soon realize what a problem it is in the Christian life to grieve the Holy Spirit. One of the things the Holy Spirit does is assure the child of God they are the child of God. And if we're being disobedient to God, we may begin to lack that assurance that we are a child of God. And if somebody continually, repeatedly is disobeying God's commandments and has no intention whatsoever to turn from that disobedience, they have to examine their hearts as to whether they're truly in the faith. Am I really a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus if I've got no heart, no desire to obey God, and no concern, no grief, no sorrow if I'm continually disobeying Almighty God? When you read through your Bible, when you read the various accounts in various situations, some very hard, some not so much, of the people of God obeying God, you read there how blessed they were. And when you read of them disobeying God, you read of all the problems it caused them. But of course, if you want to read in the Bible a perfect example of obedience, you have to just turn to the Gospels. You won't find it anywhere else. Because the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only life that was lived in perfect obedience to Almighty God. God says, those that honor me, I will honor. One of the most obvious ways to honor God is by obeying him. And as we obey God, God will honor us. A desire to seeking to obey God should be our aim as Christians. If we live to obey God, we're living to the glory of God. You can't be living to the glory of God if you're not living to obey him. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, how we need to pray. You see, if every day you're living in perfect obedience to Almighty God, you could perhaps turn round to me and say, well, I don't really need to pray. But that's not true of any of you here. It's not true of any believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Never has been, never will be. Little wonder then, Jesus says, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Little wonder God says through Paul, pray without ceasing. One of the most important aspects of our praying is to thank God for our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, but to pray God's help by his Holy Spirit to obey him day by day, to live a life that's pleasing to him, to live a life that will glorify Almighty God. A Negro preacher, and it's acceptable to say Negro in a historical context, a Negro preacher from the past said this. Forgive me because I can't actually do his accent. Brethren, whatever the good God tell me in his blessed book to do, that I'm going to do. If I see in it that I must jump through a stone wall, I'm going to jump at it. Going through it belongs to God. Jumping at it belongs to me. There's a man who really understands the truth. If you love God, you will keep his commandments.